So you heard Louise's story, sort of counting out what the federal government is on the hook for after August 2nd. There are bills to be paid, and there's a shortage of money coming in if we can't borrow. And that's the discussion that's going on in Washington. Here's one of the indications of what the feds are on the hook for.
This is not just a matter of Social Security checks. These are veterans' checks. These are folks on disability and their checks. There are about 70 million checks that go out.
Did you hear that? Veterans checks particularly. And listen to this listener.
This is Janice Kagan-Toiber from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm quite concerned. My son will be deploying to Afghanistan within the next couple of weeks, and I'm afraid that there will not be enough funds to keep him safe.
Well, veterans and military families concerned about precisely that issue, if the U.S. does default or has to begin prioritizing its bills, can look to the Stars and Stripes newspaper and magazine and the reporting of that organization to figure out exactly what the military is doing to plan for a possible default. And Leo Shane, Capitol Hill reporter for Stars and Stripes, joins us from Washington, D.C. Busy times for you, I gather, Leo.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of questions out there.
What are some of the questions, and give us a sense of what the easiest ones are to answer right off the top?
Sure. Well, last night, the White House actually sat down with a variety of veterans groups to listen to their questions and try and provide some answers. But in talking to the groups, there's not a lot of answers to be had right now. They were asking if veteran benefit checks are going to stop, if military pay is going to stop, what services will stay active. And frankly, the White House told them point blank that they're not sure yet. They're still putting together their lists and trying to figure out exactly what will happen if a deal isn't reached.
Is there a way legislatively, Leo, for the federal government to put, active combat revenues or spending at the top of the food chain there in some ways? Sounds like maybe not.
Well, there are actually a couple bills pending up on Capitol Hill dealing with exactly that. They would make sure that military pay is still going out in case of a shutdown, in case of a default, things of that sort. But those bills have been stalled since April. There was a push by Senator Hutchinson and Representative Gohmert to try and get them passed before the end of the month, but it doesn't look like either one of them is going to be completed by then.
Now, you're Capitol Hill reporter for Stars and Stripes, Leo Shane, but any sense from your colleagues that the Pentagon is maybe borrowing on its own or putting together a war chest to get it through the next couple of months if things actually go down to the wire here?
Sure. We haven't heard that yet. The Pentagon is monitoring the situation, but the official line right now is that they're not exactly sure what's going to happen, if we'll see a partial shutdown and some non-essential personnel, told not to report for work. Same out of the Department of Veterans Affairs. They're looking closely, but really it comes down to the White House and the Treasury and what bills they decide they can pay and how much money does come in and what can be covered.
Well, let's look at it this way then for a moment. And yesterday we talked with someone from the Office of Management and Budget during the Clinton years who dealt with government shutdowns and how they have to create a sense of priorities and sort of deal with a food chain as to what personnel come in, what personnel get paid. How does the Pentagon do that? Do they have a sense, a clear sort of order of battle as to who gets paid, who's an essential person, who's not? And would that begin in Afghanistan at the top?
Sure. Well, it's tough to say exactly who is, but back in April when we were faced with the last shutdown threat, they did start informing folks of who would be considered essential personnel and who would be told that they'd be on a temporary furlough. So folks who are critical to the missions in Iraq and Afghanistan and some of the overseas deployments, those are all essential personnel. So to someone like Janice, a mother who's concerned, I would tell her that there are contingencies in place to make sure that folks aren't simply walking off the job and leaving troops in a lurch overseas. But there are thousands upon thousands of workers who would be sent home for an undetermined period of time if there's not money to pay them.
And you could see, there would be precedent for this, a kind of general slowdown, I'd say a 10% delay in various deployments or procurements and that sort of thing as a way of dealing with this in the short term, right?
Sure. One of the items that's on the list of will they be able to pay these bills is defense vendor payments. So when we're talking about equipment and things of that sort, that's where that money's coming from. Now, in terms of the folks who are actually on the ground over there right now, you know, they have their body armor, they have their ammunition, you know, they have their Humvees and other vehicles. So it's not like all of a sudden there's not going to be the basic equipment they need to be safe and to conduct missions. But it could, you know, could create some problems with major weapons programs down the line, could certainly disrupt some of the flow long-term of that equipment to various places. The Pentagon in the past has said that, you know, regardless what happens with the budget fights, their priority will be keeping the guys in Iraq and Afghanistan safe and well-supplied. So more likely you'll see problems with getting training equipment at bases, personnel at commissaries, personnel tending to military family support programs. Those are the areas that are going to see the immediate impact.
So they might run out of beer, but they're not going to run out of body armor at the commissaries there in forward operating bases. To Janice's point, Leo Shane, is it the case that a parent who has a son or daughter in Afghanistan has much less to worry about than if they have a son or daughter working at Lockheed Martin, for instance?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point to bring up. I mean, the Pentagon isn't going to leave folks who are overseas in a war zone in a lurch without the safety they need. Now, that's not to say that they won't be concerned about other things. The idea that they might not get a military paycheck in August is very real and is up in the air. So that's something that's going to weigh heavily on their minds. You know, the commissaries, the family support programs, they're not necessarily essential to what's happening, in Afghanistan on the fighting fields. But it's something that'll weigh on troops' minds when they're thinking about their families back home.
Indeed.
And whether or not they're coping.
And at the very least, the troops have to think, based on this experience, we are borrowing to defend the United States. That's what this is really all about. And that comes as a bit of a shock as well. Leo Shane, Capitol Hill reporter for Stars and Stripes, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.